الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، نستمر في قراءتنا لرسالة أسئلة وأجوبة الصغار ولا يستغني عنها الكبار.
The Sheikh began by praising Allah. The Sheikh began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending blessings and salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went on to say to proceed, and then he stated that we're going to continue on in our readings and our studies in his book entitled Questions and Answers for the Youth, which the elders are also in need of.
ونحن في يوم الأربعاء الرابع عشر من جمادى الآخرة لعام 29,400 الموافق الثامن عشر من شهر السادس لعام 2000.
And today is Wednesday, and the date is the 14th of Jumadi al-Akhirah, the year 1429 after the Hijra, coinciding with June 18th, 2008.
وأنا زائركم في الله عز وجل محدثكم من الكويت أخوكم سالم بن سعد الطويل.
And I'm visiting all of you for the pleasure of Allah, and the person speaking, he is your brother, Abu Sa'd Salim bin Sa'd al-Tawil.
نستمع وإياكم في هذه المدينة الولايات المتحدة في شيكاغو في هذا المسجد.
And we're having this gathering here in this masjid in Chicago.
وقد وقفنا على السؤال العشرين من هذه الرسالة، وهو متى ولد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وفي أي بلد.
And we ended with question number 20. And question number 20 states, when was the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم born and in what land was he born?
يحسن بالمسلم أن يعرف عن نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم. يحسن في المسلم أن يعرف عن نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم.
نعم، in the Muslim he should have knowledge of his Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
فأوردت هذا السؤال تعريفا بالنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، وجوابه ولد في عام الفيل بمكة.
So he wrote this question so that we can have knowledge of who the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was born in the year of the elephant in Mecca.
وعام الفيل هو العام الذي أهلك الله عز وجل فيه أبرهة وجيشه لما قدم من الحبشة.
And the year of the elephant, it is the year that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed Abraha and his tribe, those that were with him when they came from Ethiopia.
والبيت كان معظم عند العرب حتى قبل الإسلام.
And this house was something that was magnified and extolled amongst the Arab even before Islam.
ويروى أن أبرهة في الحبشة صنع كنيسة عظيمة وزخرفها زخرفا كبيرا وجعل فيها من الذهب وغيره.
And it's narrated concerning Abraha that he built this great magnificent place
called كنيسة.
كنيسة.
نعم، this great magnificent church, and he adorned it with gold and the likes.
ودعا الناس إليها أراد أن يصرفهم عن بيت الله العتيق.
And the people were called to this hoping to sway them away from the Kaaba, the house of Allah, the ancient house of Allah.
لكن ما زال الناس يعظمون الكعبة ولم يذهبوا إلى كنيسة أبرهة في الحبشة.
But the people, they didn't cease to go to the Kaaba, and no one really went to this place, this church that was built by Abraha.
فرأى أن يهدم الكعبة ليصرف وجوه الناس إلى كنيسته.
So then he wanted to destroy the Kaaba in order to turn the people towards his church.
وكانت قريش تسكن مكة.
And the Quraysh, they lived in Mecca.
وهم آباء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأجداده.
And these were the forefathers and the grandfathers of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
فتوجه إليها بفيلة من أفريقيا لهدمها.
So he came towards it with elephants from Africa looking to destroy it.
والله عز وجل يقول ألم ترى كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل، والمراد بالفيل اسم جنس يعني الفيلة، لم يأتوا بفيل واحد وإنما جاءوا بفيلة كثيرة.
And Allah عز وجل has mentioned, have you not seen what your Lord has done with the people of the elephant? And the word fiel here or elephant here is utilized to mean more than one elephant, an abundance of elephants. It doesn't mean just one.
وجاء بجيش لا قبل لقريش بهم لا يستطيع مواجهتهم. جاء بجيش لا يستطيع قريش مواجهة هذا الجيش العظيم. No. الذي جاء به أبرهة من أفريقيا.
And they came with this magnificent army that the Quraysh, they wouldn't be able to overcome them. This great magnificent army that outnumbered the people of the Quraysh.
فلما اقترب من البيت دعا عبد المطلب جد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So when it came close to the house, the grandfather of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, عبد المطلب, he was called.
فقال له هل لك حاجة؟
So he said to him, do you have any need?
قال أريد أن تسلم عيري أي إبلي وجمالي أريد أن تسلم.
He was saying that he wanted his camels back. He wanted his camels to be saved. He didn't want any harm to come to them.
فقال أبرهة جئت تسأل عن البعير ولم تسأل عن البيت وجئت أهدمه.
So Abraha, he said to him, you're asking about these camels and you're concerned about that when I came here to destroy the house, the Kaaba.
فقال عبد المطلب أما العير فأنا ربها وأما البيت فله رب يحميه.
And Abdul Muttalib, he said, as for these camels, then I am their Lord, I'm their master and maintainer. And as for this house, it has its own Lord, and this Lord will take care of it and protect it.
فلما اقترب لهدمها هو وجيشه أرسل الله عليهم طيرا أبابيل أي طيور جماعات جماعات.
So when Abraha, when he went to go destroy the house, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent many, many birds and large numbers of birds.
وتحمل هذه الطيور حجارة حامية فأحرقتها هذا الجيش ومن معه.
So when these birds came, each one of them had like small stones and pebbles with them, and they began to throw these stones and pebbles at Abraha and his army.
فجعلهم كعصف مأكول كأنهم أوراق شجر قد أكلته الدواب الغنم.
So they became as though they were stalks of corn that had been eaten by cattle and the likes.
في هذا العام الذي حصلت فيه هذه الحادثة العظيمة ولد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So in this year that this great occurrence, that this great occurrence happened, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was born.
وتوفي والده وهو عليه الصلاة والسلام حمل في بطن أمه.
And his father passed while he was still in the womb of his mother.
وكانت أسرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أشراف قريش.
And the family of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, where they were from amongst the most noble of the Quraysh.
فولد عليه الصلاة والسلام يتيما كما قال جل وعلا ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was born as an orphan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, did you not come to us as an orphan and we took care of you?
ثم تولاه جده عبد المطلب.
Then he was raised by his grandfather عبد المطلب.
وكما ذكرنا لكم أن اسم أبيه أي والد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عبد الله ابن عبد المطلب.
And we have mentioned to you that his father's name was Abdullah bin عبد المطلب.
وأما أمه فاسمها آمنة.
And as for his mother, then her name was Amina.
ثم ما لبث إلا قليلا إلا وتوفي جده.
And only a short period of time passed before his
جد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عبد المطلب.
نعم, until عبد المطلب, his grandfather, passed.
فتولاه عمه أبو طالب.
So then his uncle Abu Talib, he took custody of him.
ثم حفظه الله عز وجل من أن يقع بما يقع فيه الناس من المنكرات.
And then Allah saved them from falling into what the rest of the people were falling into of evil.
وكان مكثه في قومه بهذه الأخلاق العظيمة آية من آيات الدالة على نبوته.
And he remains amongst his people, and him remaining in this fashion being preserved, this was a sign from the signs of prophecy.
فكان يعيش في مجتمع كما وصفه الله عز وجل في ضلال مبين.
And he used to live in a society that was in clear, manifest misguidance.
يشركون بالله عز وجل بعبادة الأصنام.
They committed shirk with Allah عز وجل by worshipping idols.
ويسفكون الدماء.
And they will spill each other's blood.
ويقطعون الأرحام.
And they would break the ties of kinship.
ويأكلون الربا.
And they will involve themselves in riba, usury.
ويعيدون البنات يدفنوهن وهن أحياء.
And they would bury their daughters while they were still living.
ويقتلون أولادهم.
And they would kill their children.
ويفعلون الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن.
And they would commit vile, heinous acts, those that are apparent and those that are hidden.
كانوا في ضلال مبين.
They were in clear, manifest misguidance.
غير أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يكن يشاركهم في هذه الضلالات.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he didn't participate with any of them in any of this misguidance.
مكث هكذا قبل النبوة 40 سنة يعرف بالصدق والأمانة.
So this went on, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم lived like this in a society for 40 years, and he was known for truthfulness and upholding the trust.
فحياته قبل النبوة بهذه الأخلاق بين هذه الظلمات مستقيما دل على نبوته وعلى صدقه عليه الصلاة والسلام.
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم remaining upon this way living in the society before he was a prophet, this was a sign of his truthfulness and the sign of his prophethood.
حتى في صحيح البخاري قصة هرقل العظيم الروم.
And in Sahih Bukhari, there's a story of Hirqal, the ruler of Rome.
وهي قصة طويلة وجميلة.
And it is a long and beautiful story.
لو حرص عليها المسلم ورجع عليها في صحيح البخاري يستفيد منها.
And if the Muslim is able to, he should go back to Sahih al-Bukhari and read to it, read from and benefit from it.
ومن جملة هذه القصة أن هرقل العظيم الروم.
And shortening the story, paraphrasing the story concerning this ruler of Rome.
كان في بلاد الشام في بيت المقدس.
He was in Sham, in Bayt al-Maqdis.
وقد سمع بقدوم بعض العرب.
وقد سمع
بقدوم بعض العرب إلى بيت المقدس. تجار أو زائرين إلى بيت المقدس من العرب.
نعم, and some of the Arab they were known to come there to do business transactions and the likes.
فطلب أن يحضروا إليه في مجلسه.
So he called them to attend him in his sitting.
وكان من جملتهم أبو سفيان.
And amongst these people that were called to sit with him were Abu Sufyan.
وهذا في الفترة التي كان بينه وبين قريش كان بينه صلى الله عليه وسلم وبين قريش مدة أي صلح.
And this was during a time where between the Quraysh and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم they had a صلح, like a treaty.
وكان آنذاك أبو سفيان مشركا لم يسلم بعد.
And at this time Abu Sufyan he was a mushrik and he didn't embrace Islam yet.
فهرقل دعا هؤلاء ليسألهم عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لما سمع بظهوره.
So Hirqal he called Abu Sufyan and those that were with him to ask about the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and what had occurred.
فسألهم أيكم أقرب نسبا بهذا الرجل الذي يدعي أنه نبي.
And he asked them which one of you is closest in lineage to this man who claims that he is a prophet.
فقال أبو سفيان أنا.
So Abu Sufyan he said me.
فقدمه وجعل أصحابه من خلفه.
So he told him to come closer and he told his companions to stay behind.
ودعا الترجمان.
And he called the translator.
فقال إني سائل هذا الرجل عن ذاك الرجل أي سيسأل أبا سفيان عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام.
And he said that I'm going to ask this man about that man, meaning I'm going to ask Abu Sufyan about the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وقال لأصحابي إن كذبني فكذبوه.
And he said to his companions, if he lies then inform me that he's lying.
يقول أبو سفيان ولولا أخشى أن يروى عني كذبا أو يؤثر عني كذبا يقول أنني كذبت لكذبت على النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام.
And Abu Sufyan he stated that if it was not for fear of me being known as a liar, those people saying that I'm a liar, I would have lied on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
فكان عنده أخلاق وهو في جاهليته.
So even he had good character and he was in a state of jahiliya, the state of pre-Islamic ignorance.
وكان متأكدا أن أصحابه لن يكذبه أمام هرقل عظيم الروم.
And he was sure that يتأكد.
كان متأكدا أن أصحابه لن يكذبوه أمام هرقل عظيم الروم.
And he was sure that his companions that were sitting behind him, they wouldn't lie on him or make him seem to be a liar in front of Hirqal, the ruler of Rome.
لكن أبو سفيان ما أراد أن يقول عنه أصحابه أنه كذب.
But Abu Sufyan he didn't want his companions to say about him that he was a liar.
فكان يجيب بالصدق على أسئلة هرقل.
So he answered the questions of Hirqal in truthfulness. He answered them correctly.
وكان من جملة ما سأل هل كنتم تتهمونه بالكذب قبل أن يقول أنني نبي.
And from the question that he asked about the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, was he known to be a liar before he became a prophet?
فقال أبو سفيان ما جربنا عليه كذبا.
And Abu Sufyan he stated we've never known him to be a liar.
وهذا كان قبل النبوة ما عرفوا أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يكذب أبدا.
And this was before he became a prophet. We said we've never known the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to ever become a liar.
فقال هرقل بعد ذلك بعدما أتم الأسئلة ما كان ليذر الكذب على الناس ويكذب على الله.
And then after Hirqal had finished asking all these questions, he stated the one who was never lied all this time, then he wouldn't lie on Allah.
لأن هذا مستبعد جدا أنه 40 سنة مكث بينكم لا يكذب على الناس. فكيف سيكذب على الله يقول بعثنا الله رسولا وبشيرا ونذيرا. هذا لا يمكن.
So he's saying that this man has been truthful for 40 years, being truthful. So now when he's sent as a messenger, now he's going to begin lying. This is something that's not possible.
إلى آخر القصة وهي جميلة جدا ومفيدة ونافعة.
To the end of the story, and the story is very, very beneficial.
لكن الوقت لا يسمح أن نذكرها أو أن نذكر كثيرا منها.
But the time, it doesn't allow us to mention this entire story and doesn't allow us to mention most of it either.
لكن الذي يريد أن تعرفه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان على أخلاق وعلى استقامة قبل النبوة 40 سنة لم يعرف عنه إلا الاستقامة.
But the point that I want to make is that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he was truthful and he was upright even before he became a prophet.
وأن هذا من معجزاته وآياته الدالة على نبوته عليه الصلاة والسلام.
And these are from his miracles and from the signs that would indicate that he was a prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
السؤال الذي بعده سؤال 21 كم سنة كان عمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما أرسل الله تعالى.
The next question here, question 21, is how old was the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when he was sent by Allah as a prophet?
الجواب 40 سنة.
And the answer to this is that he was 40 years old.
وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتحنث أي يتعبد بالتفكر بآيات الله في غار حراء.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he would worship Allah or meditate if you will. He would worship Allah in the cave of Hira.
يبقى ليالي ذات عدد. إن عدة ليالي يبقى هناك في الغار فوق الجبل.
And he would stay in this cave for a number of days worshiping Allah.
فأرسل الله عز وجل إليه الوحي. جبريل عليه السلام.
So Allah سبحانه وتعالى he sent wahi revelation to him through Jibril عليه السلام.
جاء وقال له اقرأ.
He came to him and he said to him read.
قال ما أنا بقارئ. ومعنى ما أنا بقارئ ليس معناها لا أريد أن أقرأ وإنما معنى ما أنا بقارئ يعني لست قارئا لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان أميا.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said I cannot read. And him saying this doesn't mean that he didn't want to read. He was saying that he couldn't read, meaning that he was illiterate.
قال اقرأ قال ما أنا بقارئ فكررها اقرأ ما أنا بقارئ فنزل عقاب الله عز وجل اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
So this happened again. He said to him, read. He said, I can't read. The third time, read. I can't read. And then the first verse in Surah Al-Anfal was revealed, read in the name of your Lord who created.
ثم ضغطه ضغطا شديدا ثم أرسله.
Then he grasped him. He held on to him very tightly and then he let him go.
حتى يشعره أنه في يقظة ليس في نوم.
So that he could know that he was awake and he wasn't in the state where he was sleeping.
رجع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خائفا إلى زوجه خديجة رضي الله عنها.
Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he went home in a state of fear back to his wife خديجة رضي الله عنها.
فقال دسروني دسروني أي غطوني بالغطاء من شدة الخوف الذي وجده عليه الصلاة والسلام.
And he said to her, cover me with blankets and such due to the great state of fear that he was in.
وقال لخديجة رضي الله عنها والله إني خشيت على نفسي يعني من الهلاك من شدة الخوف.
And he said to خديجة that he's fearing for himself that he may perish because he was in such a high state of fear.
فقالت رضي الله عنها كلا والله لا يخزيك الله أبدا.
And she said to him, no, Allah will never do this to you.
فإنك تصل الرحم.
For you enjoin ties of kinship.
وتقرئ الضيف تكرم الضيوف.
And you honor your guests.
وتعين على نوائب الحق أي أنك تساعد الملهوف المكروب.
And you assist those that are in need.
هذه من أخلاقه قبل النبوة.
And this is from his good character before he even became a prophet.
وما كان يعرف الكتاب ولا الإيمان. وما كان يعرف الكتاب ولا الإيمان.
And this was before he knew anything. At this time, he didn't know anything about the book or iman, faith.
هكذا كانت أخلاقه.
This is how his character was.
فكيف لما أنزل الله عليه القرآن؟
So how would it be then when Allah has revealed the Quran to him?
وتخلق بأخلاقه.
And he granted him this good fine character.
سُئلت عائشة رضي الله عنها عن خلق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
عائشة رضي الله عنها she was asked about the character of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
فقالت كان خلقه القرآن.
And she stated his character was the Quran.
أي يتخلق بما أمر الله به.
Meaning his character encompassed what Allah ordered him with.
فيمتثل المأمور ويجتنب المحظور.
So he complied with what he was commanded with and he abstained from what he was prohibited from.
حتى شهد الله عز وجل بشهادة.
To the point that Allah bore witness to him.
وزكاه بتزكية عظيمة.
And he praised him with this great immense praise.
قال بعض أهل العلم هي أعظم ما وصف الله بها نبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And some of the people now state that this is the greatest thing that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was described with.
من يعرف ما هذه التزكية؟
Who knows what this praise is?
وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم.
Certainly you are upon a great immense fine character.
وهذا أسلوب توكيد.
And this style here is emphasizing.
لما قال إنك إن تفيد التوكيد.
And this word إنك it emphasizes. The benefit of it is that it emphasizes.
ثم قال لعلى خلق عظيم. اللام هذه أيضا تفيد التوكيد.
And then this lam here it provides further emphasis.
فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان أعلى الناس أخلاقا على الإطلاق.
So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was the greatest person with regards to character in the absolute unrestricted sense.
ما من خلق حسن إلا والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان أعلى.
There was nothing that is from good character except that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was at the paramount of it.
من التواضع,
such as humility,
والكرم,
and nobility,
وصلة الرحم,
and enjoying the ties of kinship,
والعفو,
and pardoning,
والشجاعة,
and courage,
وغير ذلك كثير مما يصعب حصره حيث وصف الله بأنه على خلق عظيم.
And from other than that, from the things that fall under the umbrella of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala describing him as being upon a great fine character.
والله عز وجل جعل نبيه حتى في صورته من أحلى الصور.
And Allah عز وجل he even fashioned his prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the greatest fashion, the way he proportioned him.
فكان وجهه كأنه قطعة قمر.
And his face, it was as if it was a portion of the moon.
كان وجهه كأنه قطعة قمر وكانت رائحته أطيب من المسك.
So his face was as though it was a portion of the moon, and the fragrance that would come from his body was better than the best musk.
وكانت يده أنعم من الحرير والديباج.
And his hand, it was finer than silk in fine cloth.
وما رأه أصحابه إلا متبسما.
And his companions never saw him except that they saw him smiling.
ولم يكن له تاريخ ليس بجيد حتى الناس ما تأخذ عليه شيء من ذلك.
And his history, nothing was known from his history that was bad that would prevent people from taking from him.
فلم يبقى لأحد عذر ألا يقبل كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So no one had any excuse to not accept the speech of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
فتاريخه ناصع. جيد تاريخه.
So his history was something that was great, fine, it was good.
وأخلاقه عالية.
And his character was lofty.
وصورته جميلة.
And the way he looked, the way his proportion was beautiful.
ورائحته طيبة.
And the way he smelled, it was a nice fragrance.
وأسلوبه جميل وواضح.
And his style, it was beautiful and was clear.
كيف لا نتصور أن يكون كذلك؟
كيف؟
كيف لا نتصور أن يكون بهذه الأخلاق بهذا الوضع بهذه الصورة؟
How could it? Look at how he was proportioned in this way.
وهو خاتم النبيين.
And how could he not be proportioned in his way? And he is the seal of all the prophets.
وحجة الله على العالمين.
And he was the evidence of Allah against all in existence.
وأرسله الله للإنس والجن.
And Allah sent him to mankind and the jinn.
وكان الرسول يرسل إلى قومه خاصة وبعث عليه الصلاة والسلام للناس كافة.
And the prophets and messengers from before, they will be sent to specific nations, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was sent to all of mankind in entirety.
فهو أفضل مخلوق وأحب المخلوقات إلى الله عز وجل.
So he is the best of creation and the most beloved of the creation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
رفع الله ذكره.
Allah has raised his mention.
وأنزل عليه كتابه.
And he revealed his book to him.
وأيده بالملائكة الكرام.
And he aided him, supported him with noble angels.
تعجز الألسن وتعجز الأقلام أن تفي بحقه عليه الصلاة والسلام.
And the pens and books they're not able to give him the due right that he has صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وذلك لكثرة فضائله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And this is to the great number, the abundance of good that he has صلى الله عليه وسلم.
غير أنه عبد لا يعبد.
Except that he is a servant and he is not worshipped.
ليس له من خصائص الربوبية ولا الألوهية شيء.
He doesn't have anything over the rights of rububiyyah or uluhiyyah, lordship or worship at all.
هو بشر خلق من طين.
He was a man that was created from clay.
لا يجوز الغلو فيه وعبادته من دون الله.
It's not permissible to go into extremes concerning him and worship him alongside Allah.
وهو عليه الصلاة والسلام الذي أوصانا بذلك. وهو الذي أوصانا بذلك عليه الصلاة والسلام.
And he is the one who advised with this.
فقال لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى عيسى بن مريم. أي لا تبالغون في مدحي كما فعلت النصارى بعيسى بن مريم.
Don't go into extremes, he stated. Don't go to extremes and don't exaggerate concerning me like the Christians did with Isa bin Maryam.
فقد غلوا حتى جعلوه ابنا لله.
They went to extremes. They exaggerated him until they made him a deity alongside Allah.
فقال لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى بعيسى بن مريم ولكن قولوا عبد الله ورسوله.
So don't go to extremes concerning me the way that the Christians did with Isa bin Maryam, but say that I am a servant of Allah and his messenger.
فهو عبد لا يعبد ورسول لا يكذب.
So he is a servant of Allah who is not worshipped and he is a messenger who is not denied.
السؤال الثاني والعشرون كم سنة عاش النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في مكة بعد النبوة وقبل الهجرة؟
So the 22nd question here is how many years did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم live in Mecca after he became a prophet and before he made hijrah, immigrated?
الجواب 13 سنة
The answer to this is 13 years.
فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بقي 13 سنة في مكة يدعو الناس إلى التوحيد.
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stayed in Mecca for 13 years, calling the people to توحيد.
فكان يأمر بالعفاف والصدقة والصدق.
And he ordered with
عفاف يعني عدم فعل الفواحش.
So he ordered the people with not falling into vain, heinous acts, with giving charity and the likes.
وكان عليه الصلاة والسلام صابرا محتسبا.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was patient, he would anticipate his rewards.
يقوم بأعظم واجب أوجبه الله عليه.
And he fulfilled the greatest obligation that Allah placed upon him.
في ذلك المجتمع وفي ذلك الحين,
in this society and in this community in that time,
كانت ظلمات الجهل كالجبال.
And the darkness of ignorance at this time was as large as mountains.
وكلفه الله عز وجل من البداية قال قم فأنذر يا أيها المدثر قم فأنذر.
And from the beginning he had the responsibility of calling the people, and Allah stated to him, stand and warn.
وكان هذا الأمر عظيما جدا.
And this was a great immense commandment.
كما لو قيل للإنسان زح هذا الجبل برأسك جبل كبير ارجع إلى الخلف برأسك.
It is as if it was said to a person, take your hand and push this mountain with your hand.
الناس وثنيون يعبدون الأصنام ويعبدون النار ويعبدون الأولياء.
And the people, they were idol worshippers. They worshipped idols and they worshipped
وثنيين
No, they worship idols, they worship fire, and they worship saints and elects.
وقد بدلوا دين الله تبديلا.
And they altered the religion of Allah.
وتخلقوا بالأخلاق السيئة.
And they took on repugnant, bad character.
وبينهم عداوات وثأر طويل, تاريخه طويل.
And they had much enmity and fighting between them that goes back for a very long time.
متفرقة قلوبهم.
Their hearts were divided.
كل ذلك أرسل على هذه الحال أرسل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إليهم. ليخرجهم بفضل الله عز وجل من الظلمات إلى النور.
So this was the state when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was sent to them so that he can take them out of guidance and bring them to light.
فكانت مهمة صعبة جدا.
So this important matter was something that was very difficult.
إلا أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قام بها على أكمل وجه.
Even with all that, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم carried it out in the most perfect fashion.
فبلغ الرسالة.
So he conveyed the message.
ونصح الأمة.
And he advised the Ummah, the Muslim nation.
وجاهد في الله تبارك وتعالى.
And he strove for the sake of Allah تبارك وتعالى.
صابرا محتسبا ولم يبدل تبديلا.
He was patient, anticipated his word, and he didn't alter anything at all.
وكان هكذا 13 سنة حتى هاجر إلى المدينة.
So he was upon this for 13 years until he made hijra, immigrated to Medina.
والهجرة مشروعة لمن عجز عن أن يقيم شعائر دينه أن يرحل إلى أرض أخرى.
And hijra, this immigration is something that is legislated for the one who can't practice religion to go to another place.
السؤال الثالث والعشرون إلى أين هاجر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ الجواب إلى المدينة.
In question number 23 here states, where did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم make hijra to? And the answer is, he made hijra to المدينة.
وهناك عمل عليه الصلاة والسلام أعمالا عظيمة.
And here, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he carried out some great actions.
أقام دولة ومجتمعا إسلاميا.
He established a Muslim land, a Muslim society.
وأنزل الله عليه التشريعات والأحكام.
And Allah revealed to him the legislation and religious verdicts.
وألف الله عز وجل به بين المهاجرين والأنصار.
And through him, Allah سبحانه وتعالى joined the hearts between the مهاجرين and the أنصار.
وألف الله عز به بين الأوس والخزرج القبيلتان اللتان كانتا في المدينة.
And through him, the hearts of Al-Aws and Khazraj, though their hearts, these people that were from Medina, these tribes, their hearts were brought together.
وواجه اليهود والمنافقين في المدينة.
And he had to deal with the Jews and the منافقين, the hypocrites in Medina.
وجهز وجاهد في سبيل الله عز وجل. جهز جيوشا وجاهد في سبيل الله عز وجل.
And he gathered, he prepared an army, and he fought for the sake of Allah عز وجل.
هكذا حتى أتاه اليقين من رب حتى توفاه الله عز وجل في المدينة.
He was upon this until certainty came to him from his Lord until he passed صلى الله عليه وسلم in Medina.
وما قبض ما توفاه الله إلا بعد ما أتم الله به الدين.
And Allah did not take him, he did not pass until Allah had completed the deen through him.
ونزل عليه قول الله عز وجل في آخر حياته اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا.
And towards the end of his life, Allah revealed to him this verse, this day I have perfected religion for you, completed my favor that I bestowed upon you, and chosen Islam as your religion. In the Sahihain, there was a man from amongst the Jews.
جاء إلى عمر الخطاب فقال يا أمير المؤمنين. جاء إلى عمر الخطاب رضي الله عنه وقال يا أمير المؤمنين.
He went to Umar bin Khattab رضي الله عنه and he said, "O leader of the believers."
آية نزلت على نبيكم لو نزلت علينا معشر اليهود لاتخذنا يومها عيدا.
There is a verse that was revealed to you all that if it was revealed to us, we would have taken that day as a celebration, a day to celebrate.
قال عمر أي آية؟
Umar said, "Which verse is this?"
قال اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي.
He said this verse that it states this day I have perfected your religion for you and completed my favors upon you.
قال عمر رضي الله عنه إني لا أعلم متى نزلت وأين نزلت على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And Umar he stated that I know when and where this verse was revealed to him صلى الله عليه وسلم.
نزلت على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم عرفة عشية عرفة وهو يخطب الناس.
He said this verse was revealed to him on the day of Arafah when he was giving a sermon, when he was speaking to the people.
فتأملوا كيف أدرك هذا اليهودي هذه الآية العظيمة التي فيها البشارة بأن الله قد أكمل الدين وأتمم النعمة.
So ponder, reflect upon this verse that this Jew was amazed with, where Allah سبحانه وتعالى had completed the religion.
أدرك هذا اليهودي ولم يدركه أهل البدع والمحدثات.
So this Jew, he understood this correctly. And the people of bid'ah, the people of innovation and misguidance, they don't understand it completely.
كأن الدين لم يكمل فهم يضيفون عليه بدع.
It's as if the religion is not complete, so they had to add their innovations, their bid'ah to it.
وبعضهم يقول إنها بدعة حسنة.
And some of them try to say that these are good innovations.
بينما النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول كل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار.
While the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has stated that every bid'ah, every innovation is misguidance, and every misguidance is in the fire of hell.
وقد ذكر ابن كثير في تفسير هذه الآية كلاما عجيبا.
And Ibn Kathir رحمه الله تعالى states concerning this some speech that is amazing.
ينبغي الرجوع إليه في تفسيره لسورة المائدة اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم.
And it's concerning in its tafsir of the verse where it states this day I perfected your religion for you.
ومما ذكر في تفسير الآية قول إمام مالك المشهور رحمه الله.
And from that which he mentioned concerning this verse is the famous statement of Imam Malik رحمه الله.
فقال ما لم يكن يومئذ أي في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دينا فلن يكون اليوم دينا. الشيء الذي ليس من الدين في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يكون اليوم من الدين.
So those things that weren't the religion then, today they wouldn't be the religion.
والله عز وجل يقول اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم.
And Allah عز وجل has stated this day I have perfected your religion for you.
فبعدما أكمل الله الدين فكل شيء في زمن رسول الله دين كامل.
So everything after the religion has completed has been everything after this verse was sent and the religion was completed, everything after that is complete.
فمن أضاف إليه شيئا فهو قطعا ليس من الدين.
So whoever tries to attribute or add something to the religion, then this is something that has been added and it's not from the religion.
هذا معنى كلام الإمام مالك رحمه الله. ما لم يكن يومئذ دينا فلن يكون اليوم دينا.
And this is the statement of Imam Malik. Whatever wasn't the religion then it can never be the religion now.
السؤال كم سنة عاش النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في المدينة بعد الهجرة؟
And the next question here states, question number 24, how many years did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم live in Medina after the Hijra?
أسأل جواب 10 سنوات.
And the answer to this is 10 years.
أقام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في المدينة 10 سنوات جاهد في سبيل الله عز وجل وأقام دولة ورسخ الدين كله بأحكامه ومعاملاته.
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he lived in a society in Medina. He established an Islamic society. He fought in the path of Allah.
وآخر شيء قلت أكمل أحكام الدين وشرائعه.
And he completed the legislation of the deen and the religious rulings of the religion.
فالحرام ما حرمه الله.
So he prohibited what Allah prohibited.
والواجب ما أوجبه الله.
And he obligated what Allah obligated.
والحلال ما أحله الله.
And he deemed permissible what Allah deemed permissible.
والعقائد هي التي جاء بها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And the
العقائد.
The beliefs that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم brought.
والعبادة هي التي تركنا عليها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And the acts of worship are what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم brought.
وكان معه أصحابه خير صحب خلقهم الله عز وجل.
And the companions that he had, these were the best companions that Allah سبحانه وتعالى had created.
الخلق خلق الله.
The creation is the creation of Allah.
فأراد الله أن يختار من بين هذه المخلوقات كلها أصحابا لنبيه.
So from all of the creation of Allah, he wanted to choose from this companions for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
فماذا تظنون سيختار لنبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم؟
So who do you think that he would choose for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم؟
هو الخالق.
He is the creator.
هو العليم الخبير.
He is the one that has all knowledge and is all aware.
هو يعلم ما يصلح وما لا يصلح.
He knows that which is correct and that which is not correct.
فلا شك ولا ريب أن الله عز وجل اختار لنبيه أفضل البشر ليكونوا أصحابه وأصهاره ووزراءه.
So there is no doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the best of all the creation to be the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his supporters and ministers and allies.
وهم يحملون شهادة من الله عز وجل.
So they have been borne witness to by Allah Azza wa Jalla.
في قوله تبارك وتعالى كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس.
In his statement تعالى, you are the best of all people that have been sent out to the people.
فلما أنزل الله لا يكنتم خير أمة كنتم, هذا خطاب للمخاطبين, هذا الأسلوب خطاب للمخاطبين, يقول كنتم.
So when Allah says the word كنتم, the one he is speaking to these people here when he says كنتم.
من كان من البشر عند نزول هذه الآية ويخاطبهم الله يقول كنتم, من هم؟
Who was living amongst the people here when this verse was revealed and it says كنتم, you all. Who were these people that were living at this time when this verse was revealed?
ما كان إلا الصحابة رضي الله عنهم.
It could be no one else other than the companions رضي الله عنهم.
فهذه الأمة خير الأمم.
So this nation is the best of all nations.
وخير هذه الأمة أولها.
And the best of this nation is the first part of it.
كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
As the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has stated.
خير الناس قرني ثم الذين يلونهم.
The best of the people, they are my generation, and then those that come after them.
فهذه الأمة خير الأمم.
So this nation is the best of all nations.
وخير هذه الأمة أولها عهد الصحابة رضي الله عنهم.
And the best of this nation is the first part of it, the companions رضي الله عنهم.
وكانوا الصحابة بمثابة التطبيق العملي للإسلام.
And the companions, they are the ones who they have shown for us, given us an example of how to practice and apply the religion of Islam.
إذا درس أحدنا الآن في كلية علمية فإنه يأخذ جانب نظري وجانب عملي تطبيقي.
And if one of us were to study in some science, any school of science, college of science, we would find a way to study it that is a way of theory, and we would find a way to study it that is a way of application.
فمثلا لو درس الطب مثلا.
So if you're studying the art of medicine, for example.
فيدرس في السنوات الأولى نظريا, يدرس ويقرأ في الكتب والمحاضرات.
So in your first year, you're going to study, you know, you're going to have lectures and study theories.
والسنوات الأخيرة ينتقل به إلى المستشفيات ليباشر علاج المرضى.
And in the later years, they're going to bring you where you at to hospitals who are actually going to apply those things that you were learning.
فهذا جانب نظري وجانب عملي.
So this part of it here, this side of it here is theory, and this part of it here, this side of it here is application.
فلما أنزل الله الكتاب على نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So when Allah revealed the book of Allah to His Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
الصحابة طبقوا القرآن.
The companions, they applied and practiced the Quran.
فهم التطبيق العملي للشرع.
So they are the ones who practically applied the legislation.
فمن أراد أن يقتدي فليقتدي بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه.
So whoever wants to emulate anyone, then he should emulate the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions.
وهم سلف هذه الأمة.
And they are the salaf of this ummah, this Muslim nation.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما في صحيح البخاري.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has come in Sahih al-Bukhari.
يقول لابنته فاطمة أنا لك سلف وأنت لي خلف.
He said to his daughter Fatima, I am a salaf for you, a predecessor for you, and you are a khalaf or a successor of me.
فلا بد لنا من سلف نتبعهم.
So we must have a salaf that we follow.
الذين اختارهم الله.
Those that Allah has chosen.
وشهد لهم أنهم خير الأمة.
And he's been witness that they are of the best of this nation.
وكانوا أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يطبقون سنته.
And the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, they practically applied his sunnah.
اتباعهم ليس على سبيل الاستحباب.
And following them is not just something that's highly recommended.
بل على سبيل الوجوب والإلزام.
But rather this is something that is necessary and obligatory.
استمع إلى قول الله تبارك وتعالى.
Listen to the statement of Allah تبارك وتعالى.
قال ومن يشاقق الرسول يكون في شق والرسول في شق آخر. ومن يشاقق الرسول.
And Allah states whoever contradicts and opposes the messenger. Whoever is in one portion, in one compartment here, and another compartment over there.
ومن بعد ما تبين له الهدى ومن يشاقق الرسول من بعد ما تبين له الهدى تبين له العلم.
Whoever contradicts and opposes the messenger after the guidance has already been revealed to him.
ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين طريق المؤمنين.
And follows a path other than the believer's way.
نوله ما تولى ونصله جهنم وساءت مصيرا. هذا وعيد شديد.
We will lead him to that which he has chosen, land him in hell with an evil destination. And this is an immense threat of punishment from Allah.
فما معنى سبيل المؤمنين المذكور في هذه الآية؟
So what is the meaning of the path of the believers that have been mentioned in this verse?
سبيل بمعنى طريق.
سبيل. The word here سبيل, it means طريق, it means a way, a path.
ومن هم المؤمنون المذكور في هذه الآية؟
And who are the believers that are mentioned in this verse?
من هم?
Who are they?
الصحابة رضي الله عنهم.
الصحابة, the companions رضي الله عنهم.
كيف عرفت أن المقصود بهذه الآية الصحابة?
How do you know the ones intended here are the companions? How do you know?
أنا سأقول لك.
He said, I'm going to tell you.
لأن لما نزل القرآن,
because when the Quran was revealed,
ما كان فيه مؤمنون إلا الصحابة.
There were no other believers except for the companions.
فالله عز وجل يقول الذي يتبع غير طريق الصحابة.
So Allah عز وجل, he is saying whoever follows a way other than the way of the believers, the way of the companions.
نوله ما تولى ونصله جهنم وساد مصيرا.
We will lead him to that which he has chosen and lead him in hell and what an evil destination that is.
ومثل هذا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has also stated something similar.
قال افترقت اليهود على 71 فرقة كلها في النار.
He said, the Jews, they have been divided into 71 sects. All of them will be in the fire of hell except one.
وافترقت النصارى على 72 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة.
And the Christians, they have been divided into 72 sects. All of them will be in the fire of hell except one.
وستفترق هذه الأمة على 73 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة.
And this Ummah, this Muslim nation, will be divided into 73 sects. All of them will be in the fire of hell except one.
قالوا من هي يا رسول الله?
They said, which one is it, O Messenger of Allah? Who are they?
قال من كان على ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي.
He said, whoever is upon the likes of what I'm upon today and my companions.
فلم يقل عليه الصلاة والسلام من كان ما أنا عليه اليوم. ما أنا عليه اليوم.
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم didn't only say what I'm upon today.
بل قال.
Rather he stated.
ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي.
What I'm upon today and my companions.
فلا بد لنا من طريق الصحابة نتبعهم في العقائد والعبادات والأخلاق والمنهج.
So we must have the methodology of the companions, that we follow them in their methodology and the way they worship and in their creed and beliefs and the likes.
وهذا الحديث افترقت أمتي على 73 فرقة يسمى حديث الفرق.
And this hadith that states that the Ummah will be divided into these different sects, the name of it is the hadith al-firqa.
هو حديث صحيح.
And it's an authentic hadith.
إلا أن أهل البدع يتهجمون على هذا الحديث ويضعفونه.
Except that the people of innovation they try to belittle this hadith and try to deem it to be unauthentic.
وهذه طريقة أهل البدع.
And this is the way, the methodology of the people of innovation, أهل البدع.
يروون الذي لهم ويتركون الذي عليهم.
They will relay narrations that are in their favor and they will abandon those narrations that are not in their favor.
فهذا الحديث مع حديث صحيح وصريح.
In this hadith, it is authentic and it is clear.
يبين وجوب اتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والصحابة.
It clarifies the obligation of following the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions.
ولا نجاة إلا أن تتبع الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم والصحابة.
And there is no salvation except in following the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions.
فتأملوا كيف يهلك أهل الأهواء والبدع.
So ponder upon the way that the people of innovation, how they perish.
الله عز وجل يأمر باتباع الصحابة.
Allah Azza wa Jalla has ordered for the companions to be followed.
والله يحب الصحابة ورضي عنهم.
And Allah loves the companions and He is pleased with them.
والرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يحب الصحابة ورضي عنهم.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, He is pleased with the companions and He loves them.
وتزوج منهم وزوجهم.
And he married them and they married from him.
وأحبهم وأحبوه.
And he loved them and they had love for one another.
ومع ذلك تجد هناك من يدعي الإسلام ويبغضهم ويكفرهم.
And with all of this, you'll find those who claim Islam, yet they have hatred for them and they deem them to be kuffar, non-Muslims.
ومن أغرب الغرائب التي رأيتها في هذه الدنيا.
ومن
أغرب الغرائب التي رأيتها في هذه الدنيا.
And from the strangest of things that we've seen in the life of this world.
وأعجب العجائب التي رأيتها في هذه الدنيا.
And from the most surprising, perplexing things that we've seen in this dunya, the life of this world.
والعجائب كثيرة.
And there are many things that are amazing.
لكن من أعجبها.
But from the most amazing, the most perplexing of them.
أولئك الذين يدعون الإسلام.
Those are those who claim Islam.
ويقولون بإسلام أبي طالب الذي أبى أن يقول لا إله إلا الله عم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And they say,
يقولون بإسلام يقول إن أبا طالب قد أسلم الذي لم يقل لا إله إلا الله يقول إنه مسلم.
And they speak with the Islam of Abu Talib, the one who didn't embrace Islam.
ويقولون بكفر أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه.
And then they say Abu Talib, they say he's a Muslim, but then they deem Abu Bakr to be a kafir, not a Muslim.
هذا أمر في غاية العجب.
This is something that is from the most perplexing of matters.
أبو بكر الصديق خير هذه الأمة بعد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he is from the best of this nation after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
يقول عنه كافر.
And they say about him that he's a kafir.
وأبو طالب الذي أبى أن يقول لا إله إلا الله يقول عنه مسلم.
and Abu Talib, the one who refused to say La ilaha illallah, they say that he's a Muslim.
لقد ذكر الله جل وعلا في القرآن أن أبو بكر الصديق صاحب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. ذكر الله في القرآن أن أبو بكر الصديق صاحب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام.
And Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentions in the Quran that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, that he is a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
في أي آية في أي سورة ذكر الله أن أبو بكر صاحب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام.
In which verse, in which chapter of the Quran, did Allah mention that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
من يعرف أين ذكر الله عز وجل أن أبو بكر صاحب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في القرآن؟ من يعرف؟
Who knows where in the Quran that Allah mentioned that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
ثانية اثنين إذ هما في الغار. في سورة التوبة ثانية اثنين إذ هما في الغار.
In سورة التوبة, the two of them that were in the cave.
إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا.
And when he said to them, don't grieve, surely Allah is with you both.
وهذا بلا خلاف أن المقصود فيه أبو بكر الصديق.
And there is no doubt that who was meant here as Abu Bakr as-Siddiq.
أعظم من هذه التزكية شيء.
Is anything that is better than this tazkiyah, this praise?
ثانية اثنين إذ هما في الغار.
The two of them that were together in the cave.
إذ يقول أي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لصاحبه أي لأبي بكر.
When it was said, when he said, meaning the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he said to Abu Bakr,
لا تحزن إن الله معنا.
Don't grieve, don't be sad. Certainly Allah is with us.
فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأبي بكر.
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to Abu Bakr,
ما ظنك باثنين الله ثالثهما. ما ظنك باثنين الله ثالثهما. كيف سيكون مصير اثنين؟ الله ثالثنا.
Now how can it be two there and Allah is the third of them?
يقول له لا تحزن الله ثالثنا.
He said don't be sad, don't grieve. Allah is the third one that's here with us.
وقد سئل عليه الصلاة والسلام كما في صحيح البخاري.
And he صلى الله عليه وسلم was asked as it's come in صحيح البخاري.
من أحب الناس إليك؟ قال عائشة.
Who are the most beloved people to you? And he said that عائشة.
قيل له ومن الرجال؟ قال أبوها.
And who's most beloved to you from the men? He said her father.
فهؤلاء أحب الناس إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So these are the most beloved people to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
عائشة وأبوها أبو بكر الصديق رضي الله عنهما.
عائشة and her father أبو بكر الصديق رضي الله عنهما.
فكيف تتصور مسلم يبغض عائشة وأبا بكر ويكفرهما؟
So how can the Muslim bring himself to have hatred, detest Abu Bakr and Aisha?
هذا أحد رجلين.
This is one of two men.
إما أنه ليس له عقل. خليك هم. كلم هنا.
نعم.
إما أنه ليس له عقل.
Either he doesn't have intellect.
أو أنه ليس له دين.
Or he doesn't have religion.
من هذا؟
Who is this?
الذي يكفر عائشة وأبا بكر الصديق.
The one who pronounces takfir on Aisha and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq.
هو أحد رجلين.
He's either one of two men.
إما لا عقل له.
Either he has no intellect.
أو لا دين له.
Or he has no religion.
والراجح والأقرب أنه.
And the weightier view, the best view to take.
الذي يكفر عائشة وأباها.
The one who deems Aisha and her father to
لا عقل له أو لا دين له.
Which one are you going to say is more likely? That he has no intellect or no religion?
يقول لا عقل له ولا دين له.
The people are saying he has no intellect and no deen.
هو أكيد لا دين له.
He said we sure that he has no religion with him.
لكن له عقل.
But he does have intellect.
لكن لم ينتفع بعقله.
But his intellect is not benefiting him. He doesn't benefit from it.
والذي له عقل ولا ينتفع به.
And the one has intellect and he takes benefit from his intellect.
يقال له لا عقل له. قال له لا عقل له.
You say that. He Hey, the one who has intellect and he doesn't benefit from it is said about him that he doesn't have intellect.
لو أن الإنسان كان مبصرا.
And if a person, if he can see.
ثم أتى وعمل حادث هكذا. عمل حادث.
And then he goes and. Then he goes and he got in an accident.
لقيل عنه ماذا?
You say about him what?
سيقول ذاك الذي اعتدي عليه بالحادث.
You say about this person that he just went right into this accident.
يقول كيف عملت معي حادث?
He said how could you have performed gone into this accident?
ألا تراني أنا أمامك?
Did you didn't see that I'm right here in front of you?
أنت أعمى?
Are you blind?
أليس كذلك?
Is this not the case?
لأن له عينان ولا يبصر بهما.
Because he has eyes, but he's not using them to see.
الذي له عينان ولا يبصر بهما فهو أعمى.
So the one who has eyes and he doesn't utilize them, it's like he's blind.
كما قال الله عز وجل أم لهم آذان لا يسمعون بها.
And as Allah عز وجل has stated, or do they have two ears and they don't listen with them?
أم لهم أعين لا يبصرون بها.
Or do they have eyes and they don't see with them?
وهكذا الذي لا يعقل بعقله فليس له عقل.
And likewise, the person who has intellect, he doesn't utilize it, he doesn't have intellect.
رضي الله عن الصحابة أجمعين.
May Allah be pleased with all of the companions in entirety.
السؤال الخامس والعشرون من هن أمهات المؤمنين?
And the 25th question here is, who are the mothers of the believers?
الجواب زوجات النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The answer is that they are the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وهم آل بيت الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And they are from the household of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وهن أزواجه في الدنيا وفي الجنة.
And they will be his wives in this life and in the hereafter.
وقد خيرهن الله عز وجل بين الدنيا وبين الآخرة.
And Allah عز وجل he
خيرهن بين الدنيا وبين الآخرة.
خيرهن
يعني
And Allah عز وجل gave them a choice between the life of this world and the hereafter.
فاخترنا الله ورسوله.
And so they chose Allah and His Messenger.
فهن أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الدنيا وفي الآخرة.
So they are the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in this life and in the hereafter.
ويقول الله عز وجل في القرآن.
And Allah عز وجل he says in the Quran.
النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم.
And the
النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he has more rights or more rights to the believers than themselves.
وأزواجه أمهاتهم.
And his wives are their mothers.
وأزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمهات المؤمنين.
And the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the mothers of the believers.
بالإحترام.
They are honored and respected, revered.
وتحريم الزواج منهن بعد وفاة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And it was prohibited for anyone to marry them after the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
فلا يحل الزواج من أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد وفاته.
So it wasn't permissible to marry any one of the Prophet's wives after his death صلى الله عليه وسلم.
أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اختارهن الله اختيارا.
And the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah عز وجل, He is the one that chose them for Him.
ليحملن هذا الدين.
In order to protect this religion.
فقال الله عز وجل لهن.
So Allah عز وجل He said to them.
واذكرن ما يتلى في بيوتكن من آيات الله والحكمة. يعني من القرآن والسنة. من آيات الله والحكمة. واذكرن ما يتلى في بيوتكن.
And mention from the verses of Allah, from the proofs of Allah, what has occurred in your house from the Quran and the Sunnah.
فَكُنَّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُنَّ يَنْقُلْنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا يَفْعَلُ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي بَيْتِهِ مِنَ الْأَحْكَامِ وَالْآدَابِ وَالْأَخْلَاقِ وَالْعِبَادَةِ.
So they conveyed concerning the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم what occurred in his home of akhlaq, of good character and worship and the likes of these things.
هؤلاء أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمهات المؤمنين.
These wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, they are the mothers of the believers.
أشقى الناس من كفرهن واتهمهن بالفاحشة والعياذ بالله. أشقى الناس الذي يعتدي على أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ويتهمهن بالفاحشة.
And the people who are the worst are the ones that will come to them and attribute heinous vile acts and deem them to be kufar in the likes of these things. These are the worst of the people.
وأجمع العلماء أن من اتهم عائشة رضي الله عنها بالفاحشة.
And the people of knowledge, they have a unanimous agreement, a consensus that whoever falsely attributes things to Aisha رضي الله عنها.
بعد أن برأها الله عز وجل بقرآن يتلى.
After Allah freed her from these things in the Quran,
من سورة النور,
in the chapter in Nur,
من اتهمها بعد أن برأها الله في القرآن في سورة النور فقد كفر.
Whoever attributes these false things to her, to Aisha, after it was revealed in the Quran, and Allah freed her from it, then this person has disbelieved.
الله عز وجل أنزل براءته وقال أولئك المبرؤون مما يقولون.
And Allah عز وجل he revealed in his verse, and he said that she is free from what they say about her.
وهذا البعيد يقول لا لا هي ليست بريئة.
And then these people, what do they come and say now? They say no, she's not free.
الله يقول بريئة وهو يقول لا ليست بريئة.
Allah says that she's free from these things, and the people say she's not free from these
things. فمن قال أنها ليست بريئة.
So whoever says that she's not free from these things.
هل له عقل?
Does he have intellect?
أم له دين?
Or does he have deen? Does he have religion?
أم لا عقل ولا دين.
Or does he have no intellect and no religion?
هذا هو الظاهر. لا عقل ولا دين.
So this is what is apparent. He has no intellect and no religion.
فنحن نتقرب إلى الله عز وجل.
So we seek nearness to Allah عز وجل.
بمحبة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
By loving the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وبمحبة أزواجه.
And loving his wives.
أمهات المؤمنين.
The mothers of the believers.
وبمحبة أصحاب رضي الله عنهم أجمعين.
And with having love for all the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in entirety.
وانظر وجه التشابه بين المشركين وبين المشركين المعاصرين الروافض.
And look at the similarities between the mushrikeen of ancient times and the mushrikeen of today, the rawafid, the Shia.
كلهم مشركون.
All of them are مشركون.
ولكن أولئك الأوائل.
But those from that are from ancient times.
إذا بشر أحدهم بالأنثى إذا قيل له زوجتك قد أنجبت جارية أنثى.
That if one of them was born if one of them bore a female child.
ظل وجهه مسودا وهو كظيم. غضبان مما بشر به أن زوجته قد أنجبت بنتا.
Now his face becomes black and he becomes upset at his wife and her giving birth to a female
يتشاور يتوارى من القوم من سوء ما بشر به، يعني يتخبى عن الناس لا يريد أن يراه الناس، لأنه جاءته مصيبة خبر مزعج جدا وهو أن زوجته ولدت جارية.
To the point that the people don't even want to look at this individual who he gave birth to a girl.
ما يدري ماذا يفعل.
They don't know what he's doing.
أيمسكه هذا الخبر وهل على هون على مهانة أم يدس وجهه في التراب؟ ما يدري ماذا يفعل.
He doesn't know what he should do in front of the people. Or should he like put his face down in the dirt?
كل هذه الحال التي أصابته لأن زوجته أنجبت جارية.
All these things that are happening to him that he's been afflicted with is all because that his wife gave birth to a girl.
فهو يكره أن يولد له أنثى.
So he dislikes that he has female children.
وهو بهذه الحالة
and even in the state
بكل وقاحة بكل سوء
and in the state with all these things that are bad
يقول الملائكة بنات الله.
They still say that the angels are the daughters of Allah.
هو يكره أن تكون له بنت.
He dislikes for himself that he has a daughter.
ويقول الملائكة بنات الله.
Yet he still says that the angels are the daughters of Allah.
أرأيتم مثل هذا القبح؟
Do you see this repugnant filth?
لنفسه يكره أن تكون له البنات.
From himself, he dislikes that he has a daughter.
ويصف الله عز بما يكره. يقول الملائكة بنات الله.
But yet he describes Allah with that which he dislikes, and he says that the angels are the daughters of Allah.
هذا قول المشركين الأوائل.
This is the statement of the mushrikeen, those who committed shirk from ancient times.
أما المشركون الروافض فيقولون.
As for the mushrikeen of the Rafidah, they say.
عن زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عائشة.
About the wife of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم عائشة.
أنها كذا وكذا فعلت من الفواحش.
That she's like this and she's like that and she's committed these heinous acts.
ولو اتهم أحد زوجة واحد منهم ما رضي بذلك.
And if one of them, if someone attributed these false things to their wives, they wouldn't be pleased with that.
سبحان الله هذا أمر عجيب.
So سبحان الله, this is something that is perplexing.
لا يرضى أن تتهم زوجته.
They don't want things to be falsely attributed to his wife.
وهي رافضية مثله.
And she's a Rafidah just like he is.
لا يرضى أن تتهم بالفاحشة.
He doesn't like that false things are attributed to her.
بينما هو ماذا يفعل؟
And when you compare that to him, what is he doing?
يتهم زوجة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالفاحشة.
He attributes these false acts to the wife of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
أم المؤمنين.
The mother of the believers.
التي برأ الله بالقرآن.
That Allah has freed her from these things in the Quran.
يقول عنها أنها تفعل وتفعل من الفواحش.
And he still say to her, she did this and she did that and committed this from vile heinous acts.
فهذا شبه كبير بين هؤلاء والمشركين الأوائل.
So this is a very great similarity between these people of ancient times and these people of today.
وإن الطعن بأصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وبأزواجه.
And if they and when they revile the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions.
هو طعن بالله تبارك وتعالى.
This is reviling Allah تبارك وتعالى.
هل تعرفون ذلك؟
Do you all know that?
الطعن بأصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأزواجه طعن بالله تبارك وتعالى.
Reviling the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in his wives is reviling Allah تبارك وتعالى.
هل تعرفون ذلك؟
Do you all know this? Realize this?
كيف ذلك؟
How is that?
أقول لكم هذه الحادثة التي حدثت معي.
I'm going to tell you about this thing that happened that occurred with me.
كنت مدرسا في إحدى المدارس.
I was teaching in one of the schools.
فقال لي بعض الطلاب إن فلان يسب أبا بكر وعمر.
And he said to me that so and so that he's reviling Abu Bakr and Umar. Speaking bad about.
وهو أحد الطلبة.
And he's one of the students.
قد غرر به.
قد
غرر به يعني ضللوه أئمتهم ضللوه.
Now he was deluded. He was deluded by his teachers.
فعلموه بأن أبا بكر وعمر كفار.
And they taught him that Abu Bakr and Umar that they're kufar, not Muslims.
فدعوته قلته تعال.
So the sheikh he said to him, come here.
فقلت له أنت تقول أن أبا بكر وعمر كفار.
And I said to them, do you say that Abu Bakr and Umar that they're kufar?
فقال بكل وقاحة نعم هما كافران.
And he said in a very bad way, yes, they're kufar.
قلت الله عز وجل يعلم الغيب.
And he said, قلت له الله عز وجل يعلم الغيب. And I said to him, Allah knows the unseen.
قال نعم يعلم الغيب.
He said yes, he knows the unseen.
لو قال الله عز وجل لا يعلم الغيب.
If he were to say that Allah didn't know the unseen.
لا انتهت حجته.
He has no more evidence.
لكن طبيعي ماذا قال.
But naturally, what is he going to say?
ماذا قال.
What did he say?
قال نعم الله يعلم الغيب.
He says yes, Allah knows the unseen.
قلت الله عز وجل بما أنه يعلم الغيب.
And he says that, Since it's the law of Nubian seen.
لماذا ما أنزل في القرآن?
Why didn't he reveal in the Quran?
لنبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
To his prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم.
أن احذر من أبي بكر وعمر.
To beware, be cautious concerning Abu Bakr and Umar.
فإنهم سيكفران بعد وفاتك.
Since they're going to disbelieve after you die.
وسيغيران دينك.
And they're going to like change your religion.
الله يعلم بما سيكون في الغيب.
Allah knows what's going to occur in the unseen.
فلماذا لم يقل ذلك لنبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم?
So why didn't he say this to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم?
نصيحة لنبيه يقول احذر من أبي بكر وعمر.
As an advice for him concerning Abu Bakr and Umar.
سكت قليلا.
He became silent for a brief moment.
قال لقد قال الله عز وجل لنبيه وحذره من أبي بكر وعمر.
Then he said that Allah did say this to his prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He did warn them from Abu Bakr and Umar.
قلت أين قال الله هذا في القرآن?
And I said to him, where did Allah say this in the Quran?
قال في قوله تعالى الحمد لله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض.
And he said, where Allah says, all praise is due to the one who's created the heavens and the earth.
وجعل الظلمات والنور.
And it brought who was made darkness and light.
ثم الذين كفروا.
And then those who disbelieved.
بربهم يعدلون ينحرفون.
Who believed in the Lord and they have deviated.
والذين كفروا.
And those who disbelieved.
المراد بهما أبي بكر وعمر.
The intent with it here is Abu Bakr and Umar رضي الله عنهما.
قلت له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان مطيعا لله أم عاصيا لله.
And I said to him the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم means he one who obeys Allah or does he disobey Allah.
طبيعي قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان مطيعا لله.
And his natural inclination naturally is going to say that he obeyed Allah.
قلت له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يفهم القرآن أو لا يفهم القرآن.
And I said to him does the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم does he understand the Quran or does he not understand the Quran.
طبيعي قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان.
And naturally he's going to say that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم
كان يفهم القرآن.
That he understood the Quran.
قلت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بما أنه مطيع لله.
And I said with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in him obeying Allah
ويفهم القرآن
and understanding the Quran.
فلماذا ما فهم من هذه الآية أن المقصود بها أبا بكر وعمر.
So why did he understand that the intent from this verse was Abu Bakr and Umar.
كان المفروض أن يحذر منهما.
كان المفروض أن
يحذر منهما.
So if this was the case, then he was supposed to be aware of them, be cautious of them.
لا أن يتخذهما صاحبين.
And not take them as companions.
ويتزوج ابنة أبي بكر.
And to marry the daughter of Abu Bakr.
ويتزوج ابنة عمر.
And to marry the daughter of Umar.
ويعيش معهما.
And to live amongst them.
مع أنه يعلم.
Even while he knows.
بأن هذه الآية.
That this verse.
الذين كفروا.
That those who disbelieved.
على ما تقول أن هذه الآية المراد بها البكر وعمر.
Based upon what you are saying that they أبو بكر وعمر.
والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حينئذ.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم therefore.
إما أنه لم يفهم القرآن الذي أنزل الله عليه.
Either he didn't understand the Quran that Allah revealed to him.
أو فهم القرآن وعصى الله عز وجل.
Or he understood the Quran and he disobeyed Allah عز وجل.
فبدل أن يتبرأ من الكافرين.
فبدأ
أن يتبرأ من الكافرين.
So that he began to like free him. So instead of freeing himself from these two. كفار.
اتخذهما صاحبين.
He took them as companions.
فهذا حينئذ.
So this therefore.
سيقول إما أن يقول الله لا يعلم الغيب.
Either means that Allah doesn't know the unseen.
أو النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يفهم القرآن.
Or the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم doesn't understand the Quran.
أو النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عصى الله عز وجل.
Or the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم disobeyed Allah عز وجل.
فليختار واحدة من هذه.
So choose one of these.
فأي واحدة منها يكون بها كافرا.
So any one of these that you choose, you're going to be a kafir.
إن قال الله لا يعلم الغيب فقد كفر.
If you say Allah doesn't know the unseen, you're a kafir.
وإن قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يفهم القرآن فقد كفر.
And if you say the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم doesn't understand the Quran, then you've disbelieved.
وإن قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عصى الله عز وجل وصاحب الكفار فقد كفر.
And if you're going to say that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he disobeyed Allah to them as companions, then you've also disbelieved.
فهو كافر على كل حال.
So you're a kafir in any regard.
مأواه جهنم وبئس المصير.
And in جهنم what a
مأواه مصيره إلى النار وبئس المصير.
Evil destination that is.
إلا أن يتدارك الله بتوبة.
Except that you come to Allah repenting.
فمن لم يتوب.
So whoever doesn't repent.
وكفر أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And they deem the companions to be kufar, now Muslims.
فقد كفر بالله عز وجل.
Then he has disbelieved in Allah عز وجل.
يلزم من كلامه.
Is binding from the speech.
إما أن الصحابة إما أن الله لا يعلم الغيب.
Either that Allah doesn't know the unseen.
أو أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يفهم القرآن.
Or the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم doesn't understand the Quran.
ولم يحسن اختيار الصاحب الطيب.
And he didn't make the best choice.
ولا يعرف يتزوج المرأة الصالحة.
And ولم
ولا يعرف اختار الزوجة الصالحة.
And he didn't choose a righteous wife.
وكل ذلك كفر بالله عز وجل إذا قال هذا بالله أو برسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And all these things are disbelief to say this about Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم.
ثم الطعن بأصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وبأزواجه.
And then reviling the companions and then reviling the Prophet and his wife طعنهم بالقرآن is reviling the Quran.
من روى لنا القرآن عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟
Who is the one that conveyed the Quran to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم؟
الصحابة رضي الله عنهم.
غلط. أخطأت.
من الذي روى القرآن عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقرأ القرآن. من سمعه منا وروى للذي بعده؟
Who is the one that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was conveying the Quran to?
الصحابة رضي الله عنهم.
The companions رضي الله عنهم.
هم سمعوا القرآن من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
They heard the Quran from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وحفظوه.
And they memorized it.
وأقرأوه الذين بعدهم.
And they read it to those that came after them.
فالذي يطعن بالصحابة يطعن بالقرآن.
So the one who reviles companions is reviling the Quran.
والطعن بالصحابة رضي الله عنهم طعن بالسنة.
And reviling the companions is reviling the Sunnah.
من روى الحديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟
Who is the one that these hadith will be being relayed to from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم؟
الصحابة رضي الله عنهم.
The companions رضي الله عنهم.
إحنا ما عندنا أشرطة كاسيت نسمع فيها صوت النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام.
We don't have a cassette tape where we can hear the speech of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
أليس كذلك؟
Is this not the case?
وإنما الصحابة هم الذين روى القرآن وروى السنة وبلغوها من بعدهم.
And but rather is the companions, they're the ones who conveyed the Quran and the Hadith, the Sunnah to those that came after them.
فطعنوا فيهم.
So reviling them,
طعنهم بالكتاب والسنة.
Is reviling the book and the Sunnah.
وطعنهم بالنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام.
And reviling the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وطعنهم بالله تبارك وتعالى.
And this is them reviling Allah تبارك وتعالى.
ولذلك يقول في السؤال الذي بعده أين توفي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومتى وكم كان عمره عليه الصلاة والسلام.
And due to all this, and the next question it says. Where did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم die? When? And how old was he?
طبعا توفي عليه الصلاة والسلام بعد الهجرة بعشر سنوات وكان عمره 63 سنة.
And we know that he died 10 years after the Hijra and his age at that time was 63 years of age.
ونختم بالسؤال السابع والعشرين.
And we're going to finish up with the 27th question.
أكمل الحديث.
Complete the hadith.
قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى علي صلاة.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he stated, whoever sends salat upon me once.
الجواب صلى الله عليه بها عشرة.
The answer to this is that Allah will send salat upon him 10 times.
رواه مسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه.
This has been reported by Muslim on Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه.
سأقرأ الحديث الآن ثلاث مرات.
I'm going to read this to you 3 times.
ثم بعضكم يقول هذا الحديث حفظا.
And then I want some of you to repeat this hadith to me from your memory.
فاستعدوا.
So get ready.
عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى علي صلاة صلى الله عليه بها عشرا رواه مسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى علي صلاة صلى الله عليه بها عشرا عن أبي هريرة رواه مسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من صلى علي صلاة صلى الله عليه بها عشرا رواه مسلم من يقرأ الحديث تفضل.
عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى علي صلاة صلى الله واحدا صلى الله عليه بها عشرا
رواه مسلم. غيره؟
Anyone else?
Another one. طيب بارك الله ونحن نقول والحمد لله أولا وآخرا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وموعد معكم غدا إن شاء الله تعالى بعد صلاة العصر.
Now, I mean, he stated that we're going to continue this tomorrow here in this place after صلاة العصر.